This is the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet and why. The big story from last week was IBM Cloud's global outage, which prevented its customers and its customers' customers from reaching its services. The cloud-wide outage took place during normal business hours in the United States and lasted approximately 2 hours. In other news, Cogent Networks jumped on the BGP security bandwagon and successfully rolled out RPKI. It's now filtering invalid announcements for routes covered by ROAs. This is a big deal because Cogent is a major transit provider, particularly in the U.S., and we've seen in the past how its inability to filter illegitimate announcements has led to major outages, as when it propagated routes that were leaked by SafeHost, a colocation provider, to China Telecom, which led to some amount of traffic that was destined for Facebook getting blackholed. Finally, the FCC is relenting somewhat in its dust-up with SpaceX over its attempt to have its satellite internet service Starlink classified as low latency. The FCC will now allow SpaceX to proceed in making its claim that its service belongs in that performance tier. This will go a long way to enabling SpaceX to competitively bid for a piece of the $16 billion over 10 years that's up for grabs to deliver internet service to rural parts of the United States. This is by no means a victory for SpaceX, as the FCC is still highly skeptical of its performance claims and laid out its doubts in its response to the company. Is the FCC saving rural Americans from notoriously slow satellite connectivity, or depriving it of a fast and futuristic internet service that uses low-orbit satellites that are peer-to-peer connected and use a proprietary protocol that, to quote Elon Musk, will be much simpler than IPv6 and have a smaller packet overhead? More on that later in the show. But first up, we're going to go under the hood on the IBM cloud outage and show you exactly how it all unfolded. Last Tuesday, June 9th, between approximately 5:50 p.m. and 8:20 p.m. Eastern Time, IBM Cloud experienced a network-wide outage that disrupted the reachability of services hosted within the public cloud provider. The impact of the outage was global, preventing users from reaching hosted services regardless of where they were located. ThousandEyes observed the outage from hundreds of external vantage points distributed around the world. Almost simultaneously, these vantage points were no longer able to reach IBM cloud-hosted services. Looking deeper into the underlying issue, we can see that high levels of packet loss indicate the disruption to be network-related. The packet loss appears to primarily occur on infrastructure operated by SoftLayer Technologies, which became IBM Cloud in 2013. Interestingly, traffic destined for IBM Cloud is not getting dropped, while traffic from the destination back to user locations is either completely or partially dropped within IBM Cloud's network. By approximately 8:20 p.m., network traffic began to flow normally, with service reachability restored almost simultaneously across global regions. The last major cloud network outage also took place in June. On June 2nd last year, GCP unintentionally executed a maintenance update for all of the server clusters controlling parts of its U.S. network. As a result, impacted network infrastructure was essentially headless and no longer able to route traffic internally. Even though the infrastructure itself was fine, it had no way of knowing where to send traffic because its control plane was offline. Traffic inbound to affected parts of GCP's network was subsequently dropped at its edge, and the available parts of its U.S. network experienced congestion as they were forced to take on greater traffic loads. The GCP outage last year took approximately 4 hours to resolve, while IBM Cloud was able to restore network service in just over 2 hours. There is no indication that the IBM Cloud issue was caused by a similar internal control plane failure. The fact that traffic appeared to properly route to internal destinations from external networks during the incident supports that assumption. It also excludes the possibility of a BGP hijacking, which involves announcing a prefix that doesn't belong to you, as in this instance, traffic was still getting routed appropriately to IBM Cloud. Early indications based on IBM Cloud's public statements point to a BGP route leak from one of its peers and potentially issues with a third-party networking partner. As we've covered in many past reports, BGP incidents can have a wide-reaching impact on the reachability of services over the internet. In the IBM Cloud incident, three factors: 1, the global impact; 2, the high but not always 100% packet loss, indicating traffic constraint or impedance; and 3, the fact that traffic egressing rather than ingressing the cloud provider was getting dropped, all point to a BGP route leak or mishap. Such is the delicate nature of delivering services over the internet. Next up, Archana K. Savan sat down with our guest this week to discuss internet route security.
Thank you, Angelique. This week's guest is Kemal Shanta, principal engineer in our customer success team and our resident expert on internet routing and security. Before Thousand Eyes, Kemal held network engineering roles at Amazon and Facebook. Kemal, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So Kemal, in light of some of these recent outages, one common theme that emerges is the fragility of the internet, right? A massive network of networks delicately tied together for the principle of this fascinating protocol, BGP, which from what I hear can wreak havoc on internet businesses and digital businesses if not handled properly. Why is that the case? What about BGP makes the internet so fragile?
Well, the protocol itself was invented at a time when security and security concerns were not in the focus. They were focused on making it work, and similarly to how they believed that internet is not going to pick up, which resulted in major outage of IPv4 address space and later invention of the IPv6, they did not envision that the security might be a big concern. In general, there's a lot of inherent trust between operators that are participating on the internet as a result of the fact that there are no enforced security methods.
Interesting. So how does the internet, right, and this inherent trust system, or maybe I should say lack thereof, negatively impact, you know, online businesses today?
Well, there are two different ways. The first one is route leaks, and the second one is hijacks. While they are quite similar in what they actually result in, they are pretty distinct. So RFC 7908 defines the route leak as a propagation of routing announcements beyond their intended scope. Quite often, those are unintended consequences of the configuration change on the edge router that went badly, or they are effective devices of such as BGP optimizers, which are basically traffic engineering devices that are supposed to make better routing decisions internally within the ASN. And when those advertisements leak out to upstream providers and they propagate it further, we have quite negative effects. On the contrary, BGP hijacks are malicious attempts that have the very similar effects.
So what are the cases of, you know, route leaks going bad, right? Something that you said was, you know, an edge router within an ISP could have a misconfiguration and that can impact like the services that, you know, are kind of dependent on that ISP. So what are some of the cases of route leaks going bad?
Well, I believe that most popular example would be potentially one from 2008, as part of which National Pakistani Telecom advertised IP address space that belongs to YouTube, as a result of which YouTube traffic was redirected to Pakistan.
Right.
And unfortunately, they didn't have the capacity or resources to serve the content that was requested. So basically, once the prefix is propagated, YouTube was pretty much inaccessible for their users. That's the example of the upstream leak. But most recently, Cloudflare had the quite big issue as a result of Verizon propagating more specific prefixes from different networks that were generated by the BGP optimizer that was in the ownership of quite small companies. So that particular route leak basically caused quite big effects for Cloudflare users.
Those are some really powerful examples, right? Because in both the cases, we saw almost like half of the internet shut down because of these route leaks that happen. What are some of the most common myths about BGP route leaks and hijacks?
There's misconception that all of the BGP route leaks are malicious. While they have quite negative effects, they quite often happen, as previously mentioned, as a result of configuration mistakes causing unintended effects. Companies at which those happen quite often get a lot of negative press. They have financial impact and so on, right? So it's not just that they are causing negative effect for others, they are causing negative effect for themselves. And right. As previously mentioned, they are usually just configuration mistakes.
Cool. That was helpful. Thanks, Kamal. One final question before we wrap up is, what is your biggest BGP pet peeve?
So I would say that the fact that RPKI adoption is going so slow, RPKI has a quite big benefits and so far quite proven track of record, right? Even before mentioned event that affected Cloudflare, it proved that operators such as AT&T or KPN who implemented did not drop the Cloudflare's traffic, which means it clearly worked. However, even with all of that, this quite proven track of record, today we have I4s as part of which we quite openly need to call some of the tier one providers to implement it, right? So for example, Cloudflare, and I believe it was called out on this show, started a web page as part of which they are calling out the providers that didn't implement it. I don't think that should be the case, right?
But this progress, last week we saw Cogent Networks jumped on the BGP security bandwagon and successfully rolled out RPKI. So hoping this kind of becomes the norm rather than the exception going forward.
I fully agree, and there's a hope that it's going to happen, that more broad adoption is going to happen.
Right. With that, Kamal, thank you as always. You've been absolutely great to host, and thanks for all that knowledge you shared.
Thank you very much.
This week, we covered a major cloud outage, RPKI adoption by a large transit provider, and SpaceX battle with the FCC. What should you take away from last week? And what should you pay attention to this week? Angelique and I give you our top internet takeaways. Outages on the internet and the cloud are inevitable. If you're moving to the cloud and you're relying on the internet now more than ever, factor in outages as a part of your application design and architecture for resiliency, for recovery, and redundancy. Wondering how to contribute towards making BGP safe? Check out Cloudflare's isbgpsafeyet.com and see if your ISP is RPKI compliant. Educate and share with your community to build a safer internet. What am I looking forward to this week? There are two events that particularly caught my attention. One is the Cisco Live two-day event. It's a virtual event on the 16th and the 17th of June. And in particular, the session on June 16th at 1 p.m. on expanding the internet. And then it involves AT&T, Cox Communications, Verizon, and Facebook. I'm looking forward to that. And then the second event is a much smaller scale digital event, again, put together by the Nautilus Mediterranean Exchange called NAMEX. And on the 18th, they have a panel on internet exchange points and resiliency. So that's it. That's what I'll be busy doing this week.
My first takeaway comes from one of our headlines earlier and has to do with SpaceX's claim that they can achieve ground-to-satellite round-trip times of approximately 20 milliseconds. Even if that were the case, internet performance is much more complex than the results of a simple ping test. Most internet users are interested in content, Netflix, gaming, and so on. Traditional ISPs have learned that content is king, and they've spent years working with content providers, whether they be cloud providers, gaming companies, or media companies, to optimize content delivery. So unless SpaceX tucks Netflix server babies onto the underside of its satellites, it's going to be hard-pressed to deliver internet service that is meaningful from a user's perspective. My second takeaway is just a suggestion on what to tune in for this week. Paul Vixey, who is a DNS luminary and a primary author of Bind, will be speaking at NameX this week in a mysteriously titled session, The Art of the Impossible. Those of you who follow the DNS community closely may wonder if the title should have been The Art of Being Impossible. Either way, it's something I plan to tune into and recommend you do as well. That's our show. Please remember to subscribe and follow us on Twitter. And as always, if you have any questions or feedback or guests that you'd like to see featured, feel free to drop us a note at internetreport@thousandeyes.com. That's also where you can claim a free t-shirt if you've subscribed to the show. Just send us your address and your t-shirt size, and we'll get that right over for you. Also, stay tuned over the next few days as we're going to be reopening registration for our virtual summit, The State of the Internet, which is now scheduled for July 16th. We have a great lineup of speakers scheduled, and we'd love to see you there. Till next time, have a great week.